we have roughly 4 days worth of food in our grocery stores.
We don't have the food reserves that maybe a highly populated area would have. We're, of course, in somewhat of a rural region, but it also speaks up how we have come to rely on institutional food. So what's the center doing to kind of balance out what we're seeing, a limited food supply institutionally versus what could be an unlimited food supply locally?
So one of our initiatives that's been ongoing for a while and will, I'm sure, continue into the foreseen future is our local food security initiative. Our vision is to have a food system or a food shed here locally in which every single person, regardless of economic background or where you live, has access to healthy local food. Some of our identified gaps is we just don't produce enough food here because we don't have great farmer education. Similarly, those farmers that do come in don't have access to affordable land or the training to get them on the affordable land and to be successful. We lack the distribution channels, so like the trucks and the refrigeration and the hubs to get the food coming out of the fields into the hands of everyone. And then the third final thing, which is kind of a gap, and it's a gap everywhere, is that while it's building, again, across the board, we don't have the hugest food, local food culture. Mm-hmm. There's not a sufficient understanding of how it all works to have the value for those who are able to say, great, I will pay the extra amount to get this local food into my household.
So what's the Environmental Center doing to maybe increase food security or to even change people's habits?
We're doing a number of things to address that. But one of my favorites is our Campus Garden Grown initiative. So that is this really fun microcosm of a food system that we run on campus where we have an organic garden, greenhouse, and orchard. Those tiny little spaces, we plop two students down every year. They're our local food fellows, and their whole mission is to take a year to learn what a food system is and then to use our campus garden and basically create our ideal model of what we want our bigger food system in the region to look like. So they grow organic, local food for basically one of those underserved populations of students. So they grow all this food, learning and gaining skills. So they're getting education as young people, how to grow food, bring all these students in to help them gain that deeper value and that sense of community around food. And then in turn, you know, the student-grown food that the students harvest ends up in the dining hall that the students are then eating. Again, maybe the impact is small, but for us, the real impact is that we're able to engage 4,000 people in this ideal food system.
We're talking with Rachel Landis, the director of the Environmental Center at Fort Lewis College this morning. You're trying to get people to eat more what we call real food, which of course is less processed, but we also know that real food has a faster spoilage rate. Mm-hmm. And so how do you kind of play it down the middle and say, eating real food, of course, is advantageous on so many levels, but it could be easier to waste more real food.
Interesting question. If it's truly locally produced food, it does tend to have a longer shelf life because it hasn't traveled in a truck for 2 weeks or on a boat. Some of the other things, I think if you're trying to shift to a local system, require that you have more preservation means in place. On campus, we're working to really progress local food security. At the same time, we feed roughly 4,000 people up there, and we can't source everything out of our farms. Our farmers have amazing markets with a lot of our restaurants and CSAs and farmers markets. And so we also have an initiative called the Real Food Challenge, where we're realizing the limitations of our local food supply at present. Hopefully we'll grow that. At the same time that it is vitally important to get healthy, nourishing food to these young eaters who are essentially establishing their consumption patterns for life. At the same time that we realize that it could be argued, and many have far more reliably than me, like National Geographic and all these scientific magazines, that industrial agriculture is one of the most socially and environmentally degrading things we do.
So when you use the term real food,
yeah,
what is your definition or the center's definition of real food?
We are a participant in the Real Food Challenge, which is a national campaign that strives to create a food system that is fair, just, and environmentally responsible. And so under their kind of scope and strategy, real foods have been defined as foods that are fair, humane, ecologically sound, and or local. And underneath that, you have all these exceedingly stringent criteria of what that actually means.
What have you learned about our industrial institutional food system through the work on the Real Food Challenge?
We've committed ourselves as an institution to allocate 20% of our food dollars to foods that meet those real criteria. So that's about shifting around about $500,000 annually. What it's forced us to do is really look behind the scenes of how food purchasing works, how menus work, how production at a large scale works, how transnational corporations work. And at the institutional food service level, there are three major corporations that essentially control it all, and they're huge corporations. Here at our tiny Baby Sodexo account, all of our general managers and executive chefs of that account are so on board with this, and they want to see it happen. But they're finding that they're working within a system that won't let it happen. So as a for instance, currently our accounts, our Sodexo group here, works with a few different distributors. And within those accounts or those vendors, the national or transnational corporate Sodexo has what are called procurement quotas. And so they've basically kind of wrangled some interesting sweetheart deals wherein Sodexo Transnational, if you agree to purchase 80% of your milk from us, we will give you this deal. And so what that leaves us with is there's not that much room to leverage and to be able to bring in the small scale producers or folks that can't bring to the table like, hey, we have 8 billion chickens living in this tiny little space and we can give you, 2 cents a chicken or whatever it is. Yeah.
Rachel Landis is the director of the Environmental Center at Fort Lewis College. Thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Thanks so much. It's lovely to be here.